And we're live on the NBA, All NBA podcast today with my special guest, none other than my brother Kenny, a.k.a.
Let's
Mr. Boston.
Go.
How you doing?
I'm great, man. I'm great. A big fan of the podcast, man.
Appreciate it. You have no choice in my brother, so it's all good. So as we all, I've been letting my fans know, each episode we're covering specific teams and people who are big fans of the team. And in my lifetime, I've never met a bigger Boston Celtics fan from my brother Kenny. But he's a different kind of Boston fan because his fandom. When did you start becoming a Boston Celtics fan?
I started becoming a Boston Celtics fan the year of 08 when Kevin Garnett originally was traded to the Boston Celtics.
Okay, beautiful. So, you know, usually the average Boston Celtics fan is a Larry Bird fan and those Celtics years. Paul Pierce, maybe Antoine Walker.
Yeah, I mean, I had Larry Bird on my team for Streets Volume, I think one or two. I picked him up, but I didn't really watch basketball around that time. I wasn't really a fan. I was originally a fan of Kevin Garnett. The way I became a fan of Kevin Garnett was, as a kid, I was buying basketball cards. And I remember I literally had about 8 to 9 different Kevin Garnett, you know, basketball cards of him in the Minnesota Timberwolves. So it was him and a guy called Steve Francis. That's who I was, like, a big fan of. And it went on from there.
I remember those days. Basketball cards were literally the way I became a fan of the NBA, without a doubt. So let's start off with the question, what is Boston Pride to you?
Boston Pride. I think it's just the overall love for not just the game, but for the organization itself, the jersey, the numbers, the players. Boston Pride might mean something else to other people, but I'm a huge Boston fan. I love the Celtics. I get emotionally attached to players. I'm emotionally attached to the color. Like, my favorite color back in the day was maybe blue. It's the green. Nothing. If it isn't green, I don't want it.
Okay.
Go
ahead.
The pride thing is just, I feel like there's levels to the pride thing. Mine is at an ultimate high. I love the Celtics. I literally, when we're playing with a group of fellas playing 2K, I feel disgusted playing with another team. I have to play with the Celtics no matter what. I can't watch any other really basketball games on TV. I mean, I'm an NBA fan, but I don't know. I got to be watching the Celtics.
I am a testament to prove that is actually true. You don't watch anybody really basically but the Celtics. So
unless it's the playoffs.
Of course, playoffs and finals all day, every day. So something that significant to me when I think about Boston Pride is that when KG got traded, he had to waive his trade clause to go to the Boston Celtics. And one of the biggest things that I noticed is that he went from jersey number 21 to jersey number 5.
Let's talk that talk, baby. We know what that number 5 means, man.
Tell me what that number 5 means.
Number 5, man. He was the number 5th pick in the draft. He was coming straight out of high school. I think all the other players might have been in college. He was the first one out of college. I mean, high school in that draft. I'm not saying he's the first high school draft, you know. He was the 5th pick in the NBA draft. Timberwolves actually took a chance on a high school kid that was lengthy. He wasn't really that great with the scoring, I think. I mean, I'm not a stats guy, but the number 5 pick. I mean, I don't know if that's really the thing, but I feel like it is. Number 5.
No, that was 1,000% a major reason why he did it. And then, of course, he's talking about the starting 5 of the Celtics and how big he was, that this transition wasn't about his individual career like it was in the Timberwolves, but the team effort that the Celtics were going to do for a Celtic run at a championship.
Yeah.
So tell me, do you remember when Ray Allen came and when
I do.
How was that for you?
I mean, honestly, I wasn't really into basketball like that before. I was a Kevin Garnett fan with the Timberwolves, so I was a Timberwolves fan. I didn't even really watch basketball. I was mainly playing basketball, playing football in the backyard, you know, watching Dragon Ball Z and stuff like that. I really wasn't into basketball really strong. I kept always an eye out for what the Timberwolves were doing or what Kevin Garnett was doing, but I didn't even sit there and really watch it. So the day I heard that Kevin Garnett got traded and Ray Allen got traded to the Boston Celtics, it was just, it was the spark that just came out of me, like, ooh, this might be interesting. I didn't really even know that much about Celtic basketball and stuff like that, like anything about it. I just, so, you know, hearing that, I was like, let me start paying attention. Let me get back into this. And I started watching, watching them win game after game. I think they went 8-0. The first eight games.
Yeah, 22-2 for the beginning start. Best in franchise history.
Yeah, 22-2.
That's better than a Larry Bird, Celtics, and all those guys.
Yeah, and at the end of the day...
What?
At the end of the day, it was the first big three. Everybody talks about big threes here and there, but we were the originators. We were the big three. Kevin Garnett, Paul George, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen. And, you know, people have these conversations all the time, like who, like if you see it on Instagram or anything like that, like who's the best big three in the NBA? Let's get these facts started. I mean, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, we went straight to the ships together.
First
and
year.
That's all because of, I'm going to say, Kevin Garnett. As you know, me and you talked about, we watched the Kevin Garnett documentary last night. And just to refresh our memories, because I've watched that documentary plenty of times, but just to refresh our memories with the whole Celtic pride and the whole Kevin Garnett leaving the Timberwolves after 12 seasons, you know, how hard it was for him to leave his team because he's so prideful. He's the type that no matter what, win or lose, I'm going to stay with my team. And when he made that decision, you know, everybody was talking like, oh, maybe Kevin Garnett already being in the league for 12 years, maybe he's not going to bring that X factor to the Boston Celtics so they can make a playoff run. And at the end of the day, we took that and ran with it. We went straight. It was hard. You know, we went to game 7 against the Atlanta Hawks. You know, we went to game, I believe, 6 with...
Game 7 against the Cavaliers, second round.
Game 7, Cavaliers, yeah. Then game... we beat the Pistons in the Eastern Conference in game 6. Yeah, so, I mean...
That's a defending champions Piston. That's Chauncey Billups. That's Tayshaun Prince. That's...
Yes.
That's Ben Wallace,
Rich
Hamilton. Yeah, that team was tough, and they beat my Lakers the year prior.
So, I mean, when people talk about big threes, I feel like can't nobody ever compare to the big three in Boston, because what we did was impossible. It was magical. I mean, in that documentary, Kevin Garnett shows, like, how important, you know, communication, how important – that when you play for a team, it isn't just you. It is a brotherhood. It's, you know, it's your family. It's as simple as that. I can't say it any other way. Your family. You wear the same jersey, then it's just like having the same blood. And he shaped that team to what they, you know, what they became. He elevated Ray Allen's game. He created Rajon Rondo. That is a fact.
So tell me about your love for Rondo. Tell me, I remember that season, you know, we didn't know who Rajon Rondo was. You know, he was already on the team, young rookie, and he developed into this all-star point guard. Tell me about you falling in love with Rajon Rondo as the Celtics season progresses to that finals championship.
Yeah, man, Rondo, he took over my soul, man. I was originally a Kevin Garnett fan, and... you know, slowly and surely watching Rajon Rondo, it amazed me to see somebody that was non-selfish. He wasn't really worried about scoring. He wasn't really worried about, you know, anything but getting the win. He was, his game just, it made me want to elevate my game because I was, you know, Kevin Garnett being my favorite player, but I can't do what Kevin Garnett does. He's huge, yeah. He's long. But Rajon Rondo, small point guard, he didn't really have a shot or anything like that, but he definitely, the way he just controlled that team, the unselfishness was amazing. His passing, his defense, the overall, loved it. I love it. And I could see almost a little Kevin Garnett in him because
exactly.
of his passion. His passion.
His son.
His protege.
Yeah, so and I know for me watching the Celtics, I became a Rajon Rondo fan. Unfortunately, y'all beat us that season, and it was a heartbreaking loss for me. But I honestly respected it. You know, I always had a love for Kevin Garnett and the way he played defense and the way Rondo went hard and just the overall Celtic vibe. You know best. I'm a Celtics fan on the low. Like I like this. I always rock with y'all. I lost to y'all the first time in the finals as a Laker fan. But I respected what y'all did. Y'all.
It was amazing.
It was powerful.
I mean, when
anything's possible.
Yeah, man, I cried, man. I definitely cried when Kevin Garnett said that because to know his struggle and when he, you know, he put his all. Because I mean, remember in game five, he could have won his championship game. He missed those two foul shots. To put it in overtime, not mm-hmm. even to win it, but to put it in overtime, and he missed. And you know, knowing Kevin Garnett, and you know, hearing it in himself, he was extremely disappointed in himself. He didn't sleep. He went straight to the gym after a long flight. He it destroyed him, and that's why I love KG so much because I'm the same way. Like I feel like I put everything on my back. When I play basketball on the court, we lose, it's my fault, or, you know. So.
That's why I had you call in for this Boston Celtics podcast, because you are truly a fan of this team, new era fan, but definitely a great fan. So after the first championship, let's talk a little bit about that second championship, and then we'll talk about Ray Allen leaving y'all in the dust. To hop on that Heat bandwagon. So the second finals, you know, y'all took our hearts. KG went hard and destroyed Paul Gasol. Kobe was doing his thing. We lost y'all in six, but y'all beat us fair and square. So we come back. So how was that finals for you as a Celtics fan? Because that was the greatest sports moment
scary.
Of my life.
Yeah, it was scary. I remember us being in the room watching the game, and I'm thinking it's all over. We got this. I'm hyped. And
Game seven,
and Ron Artest hit that shot, and it destroyed me. I think I walked out the room. It destroyed me. I couldn't believe it.
I cried, bro. I cried.
Yeah.
Like, that was the best moment of my sports life.
I don't know. Was that the time when Kobe Bryant like kind of pulled his jersey to the side from his chest and screamed like, ah?
Yes.
Or no?
Yes. Yes. One of his most important chances. Of course, we swept the Magic. That was easy work. Dwight Howard and them, we swept them easy. So his heart was truly to see the Boston Celtics. He took that Boston Celtics loss personal. You guys
yeah.
in clear fashion. He was waiting for y'all, and he wasn't even doing well that game seven, but he was rebounding the ball really good, made a couple clutch shots towards the end. But Ron Artest, man, don't blow in the kisses into the crowd.
Oh my God, bring that up. That killed my vibe. And then you to start doing that on the real basketball court every time you need a shot.
So Ray Allen says, man, LeBron's over there in Miami with them other two guys. Forget these old heads. Let me rock with Miami. Did you feel some type of way when Ray Allen left, or did you respect it?
No. I mean, I didn't appreciate it. I really didn't care because, to be honest with you, I'm trying to remember. Was that the first year that LeBron went to Miami?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I don't know, because I didn't even know what to expect from LeBron, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade. Like, I didn't know that they were going to, you know, go as hard as they did, because, you know, our original rivalry was the Lakers. That's a forever thing. Lakers, Celtics is, like, mm-hmm. legendary. But once LeBron took his talents down to South Beach, and I kind of feel like Ray Allen left. That was our new rivalry, the Miami Heat.
Yeah,
for the next 2 to 3 years.
Oh, it was. So tell me about that. Tell me about your rivalry. I remember. Do you remember the All-Star game where they were on the same All-Star team? It was Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Rondo. And they said that the locker room was split up. And like they were like, we still hate these guys. We don't care where they're
on
the team.
Yeah, we definitely don't play those games. Like, you know what I'm saying? The All-Star game or not, we're enemies. That was Ray Allen going to the Miami Heat. That was a death sentence. He completely lost all respect from Kevin Garnett and maybe the whole Boston Celtics because
that was pissed.
If you think about it, you know, Kevin Garnett said in his documentary that a lot of players that he was very close to, they left him. Like they left to go to better things. Stephon Marbury was the biggest disappointment, I think, in his eyes. They were balling together, and for him to just leave because he wanted to be the star was selfish. And I think he was used to that. And then he gets to this brotherhood, and they do the impossible. They come together and instantly bond and connect and ball out. The Celtics, before that season worked, they only won 24 games. That's it.
Wow.
And for them in the beginning to win 22-2, it was good. So
they had the reunion recently at remember Area 21 and all the stuff.
Yeah, I watched
there,
that. I watched it. I loved it. I loved seeing all them together.
They was talking crazy about Ray Allen. They didn't appreciate it. They said that he didn't even tell them. He just did his thing and left. He didn't even warn them. Like, hey, guys, I'm about to go to Miami. He did. And then, and like you said, even before the Miami thing, LeBron versus the Celtics as a Cavalier, he was going to war with them. He went to his first finals by having that crazy performance against y'all a couple years prior. Then he saw the Spurs. So it's been a crazy thing. So eventually Rondo became your favorite player. Cause,
yeah, I definitely downgraded from Kevin Garnett. Like, Kevin Garnett was next. Sorry about that. Kevin Garnett, I could see, you know, the oldness play a part. So I was like, you know what, I think it's time to spread this love to somebody else. And Rondo was already doing his thing. So
my favorite point guard, for sure.
For sure.
Remember he played with the broken arm? That's one of my biggest things. Like, he played with the broken arm. He was playing the Miami Heat when they wasn't the Miami Heat, it was Jason Williams. And he grabs the ball on the floor, he picks it up, he does the alley-oop pass, like, good time. So we got that out of the way. We got your beginning of your Celtic love. I remember kind of the end of that run where we actually got to see them play the Sixers. I remember it was Rondo's last game before getting traded. I forgot where he traded to. What you saying?
No, I was gonna say I try to make it to every Boston game every year. I try to.
And we didn't know that was his last Boston game. We were just there. He was playing the Sixers, and he almost had a triple double if I remember properly. And then the next day he gets traded. I think to the Dallas Mavericks. I could be wrong. I forget.
He went from the Celtics to the Dallas Mavericks. And me being a Super Rondo fan, I was hyped. I did some grimy stuff, and I said, you know what, Celtics, y'all treating my boy like this. I'm riding my boy. And I was low key a little Dallas Mavericks fan for a little bit. I went to him. I went to go see him play in Dallas too. I went to Philly to go see him play as a Dallas Maverick, and it was disgusting for him to go there. I feel like once Paul Pierce and KG got traded from the Celtics, I feel like Rajon Rondo just wasn't never the same, because the fact that he was playing with such a high caliber players and passionate players, to downgrade from that, it's not as satisfying. So I think he was just like, he didn't care. You know, you was hearing all this stuff about him having trouble with coaches and stuff like that, and just starting drama in the locker room. He went from Dallas Mavericks to the Sacramento Kings, and then he just was starting problems over there. Then he
The Bulls.
And he finally went to the Bulls, and the Bulls was a perfect pick for him because they're just a mess of an organization as him. So.
Yeah, it kind of matched him. So as you stated, you strayed away. I wasn't gonna put you on blast like that, but you strayed away from the Celtic organization. But a 5'9" guard brought you back. Tell me about that.
Yes, Isaiah Thomas, man. When Isaiah Thomas got traded to the Celtics, I kind of watched Isaiah Thomas a little bit when he played for Sacramento and the Suns. I liked him when they called the Suns the three-headed dragons, and they had Isaiah Thomas, Dragic, and Eric Bledsoe. And I liked what I saw. And
but I'm pretty sure you didn't think he was going to be what he became.
No. It's just I think I got to the point where I was like, okay, Rondo's wilding out. I think I need to just take my love back to the Celtics. They never stopped, but I just needed to, you know, focus back on my team. I was trying to do what I did with Kevin Garnett when he went to the Timberwolves, like, you know, follow him and do the same thing with Rondo. But when I started seeing the pattern that Rondo was doing and the way he was acting, I was like, listen, I love Rondo. I love Rondo to this day, but if he's going to act like that, he's going to do that, then, you know, I got to go back to my team. And to see Isaiah Thomas do what he did with Boston, it was beautiful. And a big shout out to another player that I haven't talked about, but I love Avery Bradley. Shout out to Avery Bradley if you're listening to this podcast.
Listening to this podcast, bro.
We love you, Avery. We miss you. We miss you, man.
So
I'm a big time Avery Bradley fan, man. I
did
love
Avery Bradley catch
game.
Your attention first? Was Avery Bradley the attention first
yeah,
before
I paid
Isaiah?
Attention. I paid attention when Avery Bradley, when he got drafted and stuff like that, just being a Celtics fan. But I didn't really shed light on Avery Bradley. You know, I just was like, okay, we drafted a guy. Then I started seeing kind of the potential in him.
Defensively.
Like the way he balled, the fact that he was a defensive player first, then a scorer. I love that because that's what I am. I love playing defense, and I'll score too. But defense is my thing. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, Avery, let's go. And he's still with us for a while. He's still with us throughout the whole time. And then, you know, unfortunately, we're in a time now where super teams are having to be created, and, you know, we can't just vibe out to what we have because, I mean, we did great last season with what we had, but it's just not enough with all these super teams.
I don't know about you. I think the first, because I knew you started to come back as a Celtics fan, the more Isaiah started coming to his own. Bradley, you were definitely a fan of. Y'all signed Horford. No, did y'all sign Horford first? The first time I remember y'all is y'all had
no,
a first
Isaiah
round
Thomas
matchup.
Was just us.
It was just
yeah,
y'all,
we
right?
Lost. So, we lost to Atlanta.
That's the first time I really paid attention to them as a team, and I thought, man, this kid Isaiah Thomas, he's pretty real. Like, he was going shot for shot. I remember him going shot for shot with Jeff Teague. And
mm-hmm.
Jeff Teague just had the better team around him. I just said, man, this kid Isaiah.
Yeah.
Then next year he became Mr. Fourth Quarter, as we knew him, one of the most historic years. To be honest, Isaiah Thomas, the year that he had
RIP
last
China.
Year.
China. RIP China.
if it wasn't for Russell Westbrook's 23 and Harden playing point guard, man, Isaiah Thomas had an MVP type year with the fourth
most
quarter.
Definitely. Averaging 28 points. I mean, he's not that great of a defensive player. He shows potential to be a great passer, but I mean, let's let him do him.
So tell me how you feel about Danny Ainge from the trading Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce with all those picks and then the draft picks year after year. Like, what are your thoughts on Danny Ainge as a GM for you? Do you have confidence in Danny Ainge? Has he earned that?
Yeah, I love Danny. The next child I have, I'm going to name him Danny. Just for the fact that the amazing things that he's done to this organization. Listen, I'm not going to sit here in front and act like I'm into the politics with basketball. I'm not. Uh-huh. I don't really pay attention to those type of things. But, you know, when it starts being shed to light and to actually see the results that came out of what he's done, you've got to, you know, give props to where it's due. So I love Danny. Danny's the smartest man. That KG Paul Pierce, I love them too. But it set us up to be what we are right now. I mean, look at our roster now. It's a completely different team. This is a different Celtics. I'm not even adjusted to love this team, but I'm ready.
So how do you feel about the picks of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum? Like, how do you feel about them this year making the leap forward?
Oh, I love it. Summer League was just a little flash of what we have become when LeBron and all these other players are out of the league. And, you know, it's time for the young boys to ball out. We're definitely going to be on top. I feel as if, though, just for the fact that our team is in a position to put these young players in the type of position to feel that playoff feeling, that maybe NBA championship feeling. You know, Jaylen Brown gets his minutes. I know Tatum's going to get his minutes. They're going to be ready. These other young boys ain't going to be ready for our young boys.
And that's the beauty behind it. You know, we're playing – the basketball is being played in positionless time. So Tatum and Brown can play 2 through 4 easy on any lineup. And that versatility, you know, you can put him with the Gordon Hayward 3-man lineup, Isaiah at the 1, Brown at the 2, Gordon Hayward at the 3, Tatum at the 4, and then Horford at the 5. Like, you can mix and match that. And Brad – let's talk about Brad Stevenson. Tell me about him as a coach.
Oh, hell, Brad Stevens. God bless Brad Stevens. He's amazing. I love Brad Stevens as a coach. I didn't really watch him in college like that, but once he became a Celtic coach, it was amazing. I mean, let's not stop, though. I love Doc Rivers. When Doc Rivers was in the Celtics, my favorite coach. I just love passionate coaches. But when Brad Stevens came on, he's like the perfect definition of a quiet storm. Quiet, he's relaxed, he chills, but you know that fire's in him. You know that energy is in him, and he brings it out of his players. The plays that he creates, amazing.
Amazing.
He knows how to work his players, his confidence, his reality. Like, he knows, listen, we're going to ball out, but we can't beat these guys. It's simple as that. When we played against Cleveland this year in the Eastern Conference Finals, he said it. We're going against LeBron James. We're going against Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love. We're going against this team. LeBron was bawling out of his mind. We're just going to do what we have to do to win. As simple as that. We knew what the outcome was going to be.
He gives me like that. Yeah, he gives me like a Popovich kind of vibe. Like, he's going to be one of them coaches when it's all said and done. Like, people aren't paying attention right now because the Celtics haven't been to a finals. But once he gets that Celtics team to a finals, then we're talking a different story. Do you think with the Kyrie Irving drama? I want your prediction. With the Kyrie Irving drama,
who's that?
With Kyrie Irving drama, right? I say, even if he stays in the team, he might be a cancer to it. If he leaves, that weakens the team. So, and the Eastern Conference lost Paul George from the Indiana, which was a playoff team, Jimmy Butler from the Chicago Bulls playoff team. Countless playoff teams are depleted now. Do you believe that you have a strong chance to make it to the finals next year?
Yes, man. The Eastern Conference is ours, man. Let's go. Kyrie or not, man. Like, I don't care if Kyrie didn't leave Cleveland. We taking it to Cleveland. In Cleveland, man. Like, you know, that team's falling apart. They're old. LeBron balled out of his mind this playoff, but he's not going to do that again. And especially if Kyrie doesn't get traded and stays with them. Like, come on. He kind of shot himself in the butt. He's not, you know, who wants to ball with a player that doesn't want to ball with him? It's going to cause problems, especially in a playoff atmosphere when, let's say, he starts taking the ball more than LeBron. LeBron's going to be like, oh, so this is what you're talking about, huh? You want to be the star?
Yeah.
So
I agree.
And with Gordon Hayward, with Marquise Morris, I can't wait to see what they do, man. I've watched Marquise Morris. Gordon Hayward, he's like, he's something that intrigues me because I don't really know much about him. I've even looked up, like, his highlights and stuff like that. And he looks great, but I just know for a fact that in Boston, he's going to level up. He's going from Super Saiyan 1 to Super Saiyan 4. He's skipping 2 and 3.
I agree. Like I told you before, Gordon Hayward, to me, I used to call him affectionately the LeBron killer. He has a couple buzzer beaters on him. He has some of his best games against LeBron James. He doesn't fear LeBron James, and he was in a packed
West
Coast. And he's a white guy. Let's keep it a stack. Nobody's paying attention to the white guy. And I think he's a problem. I definitely believe that he's a problem. So,
and I like that him and Brad Stevens have the little, little thing going on. And he kind of reminds me of Brad Stevens. He's also, you could think, Firestorm. He doesn't talk trash. He doesn't.
Nope.
He's not in the blogs out here wild now. He has a wife. He has a kid. And he's
plays video games, I heard.
He's here to get paid and ball out, and he came to Boston for a reason. They were talking that Miami was going to get him, and he's going back to Utah. Come on, let's be honest. Like, who wouldn't want to come to Boston?
Yeah, for real. Especially a white guy, right? Larry Bird Part 2. So Danny Ainge recently just said, they asked him the question, do you pay attention to Cavaliers as you make moves as a GM? And he said no. Do you believe him?
Wait, can you repeat that?
So they asked Danny Ainge, do you make moves based on the Cavaliers? Do you make your trades, your draft picks, is that based on what the Cavaliers are doing? Do you pay attention to them? He said no. How do you feel about that?
What else can I do? If Danny says no, then I say no. You know, he knows what he's doing, man. The Cavalier thing, it's over for that, man. It doesn't impress me. You know who impresses me? The West Coast. That's what we have to worry about. The East, listen, the whole Eastern Conference, besides the Celtics and Cavs, they're all trying to find out what they are, who they are. They're trying to figure out themselves. Celtics and Cavs are the only two teams that know who they are. They know what they want. And the only
I don't know.
Cavs
the Bucks, bro. The Bucks. I don't know. I feel like the Bucks are coming into their own. They got a lot of players. Antetokounmpo was beasting last year. That's the team that looks like that's going to be a problem in the Eastern Conference for y'all.
I'm not going to deny that, but they're not going to beat us.
So do you feel like your team can defeat a West Coast team regardless of who comes out the West?
That's a little tough, man. That's a little scary. I mean, you know, we're talking about you know, Rockets made a move with CP3. I like that move. The Spurs, the Warriors, Thunder. Those it's only four teams that I'm kind of worried about. But I mean, with our team last year, we gave teams in the West hard times. And it's not like we didn't play teams in the West. We played them. We did pretty decent. We have a whole new roster now. We have better role players. We have, you know, Gordon Hayward. We have Marquise Morris to give us a little bit more attitude, a little bit more funk, more body. So, I mean, I'm not scared. You know, the ultimate goal is to beat the Warriors. That's every NBA team's goal. They have the big four. So, you know, that's what I'm focused on. To come in this offseason, I'm not worried about no East team. I'm worried about the, you know, can we beat the Golden State Warriors in the seven-game series?
That's the mentality I need to have for sure. And I think that with a coach like Brad Stevenson.
Not knocking anybody else's team. Not knocking, like you said, Milwaukee. You know what I'm saying? Like all these other teams. They, you know, there's always a chance that there's an upset. But, you know, I feel like, you know, when Kevin Garnett and them came to the Celtics, that wasn't just because of them. It was because of the organization. It was the vibe that Boston gave them. Now that Gordon Hayward's in Boston, like, it might just happen again. An immediate connection. I mean, Isaiah Thomas is an amazing teammate. He's on social media loving it. He was saying it. All these big trades, yeah, y'all enjoy that. We know who we want, and we know who we're going to get, and that's exactly who we got.
Yeah, that's true. And if anybody was available, he definitely tried his hardest to recruit him. So I rock with Isaiah for that. Yeah, so I mean, I think this year should be your most confident year to actually do something, actually break through into the finals and make some noise, because I think people are downplaying this whole Kyrie Irving situation. And, you know, whether they keep him or they lose him, it's still going to be a negative towards LeBron. And if you ask me, LeBron needs a finisher. If he doesn't have a finisher, he's not going to succeed. He needs a Dwayne Wade. He needs a Kyrie Irving. He needs someone who's going to be a killer when it counts. And not being with that is going to be tough for him. And I think that's y'all time to shine. And maybe y'all go to the finals, and maybe the Warriors are too much, but y'all can make some moves in the offseason and attract somebody.
Yeah, I'm not going to be one of those fans like, oh no, this is like, I'm not gonna be a Philly fan with the Eagles and with the Sixers. Oh, we're going to the championship this year. You know, I believe, you know, we can make it to the championship. But you know what we're doing there is that all depends on where our heart is.
You're absolutely right, and I I want to say that I appreciate you coming on to the All-NBA podcast, telling me about your love for the Celtics, and really breaking down this season and the moves. R.I.P. to Avery Bradley, like you said before. I know you're going to miss him.
No, don't ever say R.I.P. Let's say, you know, big up to Avery Bradley, man. He's going to do amazing things in Detroit. We miss him. We love him. Hey, Avery, if you're listening to this podcast, man, I miss you.
He's not listening to this podcast.
You never know.
You're going to realize that. You're going to realize that Avery Bradley is an injury-prone player and that Marquise Morris is tough. You're going to love it.
I love the Celtics, man. I don't care if you know, LeBron came to the Celtics. I'm going to love LeBron like he didn't do what he did to Jason Terry when he was in the Celtics.
So it's safe to say that you're not leaving the Celtics no more. No more following players. You're Celtics. You're locked down.
Yeah, I am in love with the organization. I'm not in love with the players anymore. Isaiah Thomas is currently my number one favorite player. I ride for Isaiah. That's, you know, nothing else, nothing more. But I'll never make that mistake again.
Okay. All right. So I will enjoy. Listen, as a Lakers fan, I need, because I believe that we're going to be a great Western Conference team, a championship team, and I need y'all to rival us. I need that.
I believe in the future. There's going to be a Celtic Laker legendary rivalry again in the future with your young guys and our young guys.
I agree. And I want nothing more, because that's when my basketball love is at an all-time high, watching my Lakers go against your Celtics. Playing other teams is cool, but when we play y'all, it's different.
Exactly. I can't wait for the days when, you know, I'm making amazing money and I have a nice house and we'll be in my living room with the two kids and introduce them into that rivalry. Like, listen, this didn't just start me and your deal. Watch this growing up too.
Exactly. And before that, and there's plenty of stuff that we're gonna be able to show them to educate them.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure, bro.
Yeah. Always a pleasure, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Shout out to Mr. Boston, Kenny, my brother, the ultimate Celtic fan. And this
shout
was
out
an episode.
To the All NBA podcast, man. Let's get this thing right, man. You're doing great things. I can't wait to listen to your interview about the Lakers to see if you're just as passionate as me.
Oh, we'll see. We'll see. There's only one way to find out, bro.
All right, man.
Be easy.